I think what they were going for was like triggering that like internal like parental response.
You're a dinosaur.
I know, but the
getting high. Corn noises. Welcome to Super Garbage Day, a retro video game review show where my co-host and I randomly select a game, generally and usually obscure, but not lately, 20 years or older, with hopes to find some of them treasures and them there's trashes. Or maybe just have some fun along the way while our voice cracks. I am your host, Baby B. Ross, and to my right is the world famous
Baby Mr. Miller.
Hey, just want to say the Super Garbage Bowl, I guess, draft has begun on our Patreon. If you want to know what the Super Garbage Bowl is, it's his first annual. What we did is we picked a system. It happens to be the NES. And we have 16 spots open. Patrons of all levels are allowed to give one game that they think sucks the most balls. And we take all 16 of those games and we make a tournament randomly. And Mr. Miller and I are going to play every single one and then have individual episodes furthering the tournament, saying, picking what is the crappier of the two, the matchups, until eventually there's only one left. This will all be on our Patreon. You can join as little as $2 to be a part of it. And there are still spots open.
God help us all.
Yes. So far, I've seen some of these submissions and holy fucking shit. Oh my God. So there's a lot I've never even heard of. There's some like Dungeons and Dragons game I didn't even know existed.
Oh man.
There's Barbie.
The D&D games, some of them are so bad. Oh, check man. Out our Blood and Iron
game. Oh, I know. We haven't played a good D&D game on the show yet because we've only played one. Anyways, so I also want to give a shout out to Seeky Wisdom, who I had dinner with at Hot Mama's.
Oh, really?
The other day, he was in town, I believe with his partner and friends from out of town. And if that's not your partner, I apologize.
If I just got you in trouble.
But yeah, he invited me out to Hot Mama's Wings, and we hung out and talked retro games, and I got to meet some cool people, and they had their own Discord.
Nice.
And they do their own thing streaming and all that, and it was really cool.
I haven't been to Mama's in a while.
Yeah, I told him we used to go and have the Brotherhood of Buffalo Brothers. I used to
work there for a hot minute.
I know. And then we had Wing Wednesday for a while. Mm-hmm. Tell him the whole thing where we had to eat like the kamikaze wings to be in it and all that.
No camels.
If you're wondering what that means... it's because apparently scorpion peppers or reaper peppers are hot enough to kill camels.
Yep.
It disintegrates their stomach lining because they can't process it. So that's our camel trivia of the week. You know, I'll put the sound effect there, right? Yeah, it's going to be a sound of a camel. I'm back on Twitch doing the first impressions of the games that are chosen every week. So check that out at twitch.tv/supergarbageday. If you want to catch it live, I'm not giving dates or times. It just happens. I'll throw it in our Discord. That's the place to go. Also in the show notes. Everything I'm talking about, the link is below in the show notes. It'll take you to everything from the Twitch to the YouTube, where the Twitch streams go permanently. So you can see them and catch the first impressions all the way down to the Discord and the Super Garbage Bowl link. So that is all there. One nice, neat little link. So go ahead and tickle that link.
Tickle it. Good.
And speaking of tickling, it's time for the retro question of the week. This one comes from the Rancorous. It was somebody I've known for like 20 something years, almost 30 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Good friend of mine. He just became a patron. Didn't ask him. I haven't seen the man in person in a long time. He's a great guy. We've had some great stories. Growing up, big gamers ourselves, so I'm glad he's not only a patron, but also back in the Discord.
Yeah,
welcome. And he asks, would you ask?
I said, welcome to the community.
Yeah, welcome. It's actually growing, and it's really fun, and we got great people in it. But he asks, and I didn't tell you this week, so what video game world do you think would be the worst world to exist in as a normal, everyday person?
Well, if you go into the deep lore of Super Mario... It would really suck to just be an average person in the Super Mario world because you'd be turned into a block.
Really?
Yeah. All the blocks are like the little Mushroom Kingdom people. So you're just murdering bodies left and right as Mario.
Your answer is Mario World?
Yeah, it would suck.
Yeah, after you saw the movie, it seemed pretty fun.
Nah, not the imagination and a hyper stylized. Everything's fun. We're nitty gritty.
So, what, the Mushroom other movie? Kingdom. The other movie's world?
Yes.
Okay.
My preferred Mario.
Okay, that's fair enough. I wanted to give a easy answer because the first thing that came to my mind was The Last of Us.
Mm.
It's very bleak. But then I thought harder. And actually, somebody in our Discord has a great answer to that. And I'm going to pull it up right now because I think I'm just going to go with Last of Us because this answer from Van Fernal, I found to be fantastic. Van Fernal said, I would have to go with Death Stranding because that game world is an absolute misery. And I want to add also a mystery. So that seems like a terrible place to exist.
Yeah. What did the average people even do in that world?
Stay inside.
They just, yeah. Like, now I think about it after playing it, like most of the people are just locked in some like hab facility or something. You know,
I played that game as well. And I went into it thinking I was going to hate it. And I ended up loving it.
I really liked the boss fights.
I like just everything about it. I like the story. I like the atmosphere.
But I did not like the delivery boy gameplay loop.
See, it didn't bug me. Something about it. I don't know. Maybe we just have different minds. We get different dopamine triggers.
Yeah, it just got I think also coming in so late because it is like a collective world kind of thing if you're connected to the internet.
Right.
There was so much stuff that was already built and made the game so easy.
Right.
That I just got bored of it because it's like, oh, there's already a highway. Like, I'm just going to drive down the highway. There's no, like, having to dodge enemies or anything.
No, because that's what life is. Life is a highway.
And I'm going to ride it.
All night long. All right. There's your answer. I feel like we should have better answers, but, or at least I should have. But I'll be honest, I don't want to live in the Last of Us world. If you got to choose between Death Stranding, Mario, or The Last of Us.
I don't want
to
be a brick.
Okay. We're going to move the F on to this week's game, which was a Patreon pick. From our random Patreon pool selection, Mr. Keith Gasper from the Main Quest podcast put this in. So he's very lucky. He submitted this very recently, and last week's Patreon pick was submitted at the beginning of the show, so you never know what's getting chosen, man.
Yeah.
But the game he chose, and he doubled up on, was Super Mario World 2 Yoshi's Island on the Super Nintendo Entertainment System.
Yeah!
Super Mario World 2 Yoshi's Island is a 1995 platformer game developed by and published by Nintendo for the Super Nintendo Entertainment System. Wow, that's the worst sentence I've ever spoke.
I was like, why are you struggling with this?
I just wanted to go through with it, and I know I should just, whoa,
Nintendo.
They're whistling now. This is a disaster. I'm going to keep going. The player controls Yoshi, a friendly dinosaur. I would say multiple dinosaurs.
All the Yoshis. It's
a lot of Yoshis. On a quest to reunite baby Mario with his brother, baby Luigi, who has been kidnapped by Kamek. Or is it Kamek?
Kamek.
I like Kamek. As a Super Mario series platformer, Yoshi runs and jumps and reaches the end of the level when solving puzzles, collecting items with Mario's help, baby Mario. The game has a hand-drawn aesthetic that was first in the franchise to have Yoshi as its main character, where it introduces his signature flutter jump and egg-spawning abilities.
Oh, I got some words about that flutter jump.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. I got words about a specific sound effect.
I knew you would. So
let's jump right into first impressions. What is this weird Cajun thing I'm doing today? Yeah,
I'm expecting all of a sudden the bow staff and cards to come out at any moment. Oh,
do I sound like Gambit? Yeah. Too? He was my favorite X-Men forever.
He's always been a fan favorite.
Yeah, him and Wolverine. Those are my guys. All right, anyways, enough about me. My first impressions, and let me tell you about me. So when I first played this game, I fired it up. I have never played it before. I knew of it. And I said on the last episode that I remember it being like a demo at a kiosk when I was younger and being like, I don't play as crap. This is like, I'm not drawn in. So I fired up. First thing I think is like, wow, music's really cool, really cheerful, really upbeat, very well composed. Then the graphics are like completely different than what I'm used to on the Super Nintendo. Mm-hmm. Like this chalk aesthetic, this pop-up book, crayon coloring book, scribble thing. I was actually impressed. On top of that, it also shows like it's showing like a 3D rendering of scaling. As it shows, you go to the title screen and it has the super, it shows you the world.
Yeah.
Then it tells you what the game is, Super Mario World 2, which I'm surprised it's called that, Yoshi's Island. And I thought, dang, this looks and sounds phenomenal. But of course, then I realized 1995, it's at the very end of the Super Nintendo's life cycle.
Right.
It should, and it's made by Nintendo.
Yeah, it should look
good. It's called Super Mario World 2, which is kind of sweet that they started it with Super Mario World and they kind of ended it with Super Mario World. So I get it a little bit, but. I found it at first. I played first couple levels. Absolutely hated it. I was like, this is not my kind of game.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't like this reticule you need to throw eggs. I don't like that certain things happen. I'll talk about later in graphics and audio. I didn't appreciate having to learn things haphazardly through the first couple of levels, even though they weren't really hard. I just felt a little bit like there's a lot going on.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on up front. And you don't really have a health bar, and I'm jumping way far ahead, but these are just my initial thoughts. I did not like the game at first.
Yeah.
And I'm going to emphasize at first. So what did you think the first time you played this game?
Oh, first time I played this game was back when I was little.
Okay.
Because I played it when it came out. So, I must've been like, let's see, 8 or 9.
Okay. Yeah, you had to been.
And then
95.
Yeah. That sounds about right.
Yeah, I was 12.
So then, yeah, I would have been 9.
Okay.
Yeah, and I loved it, but I was obsessed with Mario as a kid. And so that was the game to play. I remember beating it, but this next playthrough, there were some things that I definitely had issues with.
Okay.
But like I said, that flutter jump.
Did it feel like a different experience?
Yeah, it was not as enjoyable the second time.
Interesting. I mean, spoiler alert, I guess. But,
okay. I like the aesthetic of it. It's definitely, it's like, it's the artist's game.
It's on first impressions, it's extremely unique.
Yeah.
Extremely unique. And kind of show-offy a little bit. I think it's like, this is the hardest we're taking the system.
Yeah, look what we could do.
And a Super FX chip was in the you know, the chipset, or at least in the cartridge, I mean. So, which was why I couldn't play it on my Super Nintendo, because this is one of the 5 games that the EverDrive won't play.
Yeah.
Unless I buy the $200 version of the EverDrive, which is bullshit.
But is it this Star Fox?
Mario RPG.
Which
breaks my heart.
And trying to think of what another one.
Mario Kart, surprisingly.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I guess that makes sense. It's got some scan.
Well, it isn't. When I would play it, I would try to play it on there. It would run. There were just no sprites.
Oh.
So it's like playing the game where it's like liminal space. Like,
that's so funny.
Back rooms Mario Kart. There's nothing there, but you're playing.
That's really funny.
Going in a circle, no sprites. Yeah, so let's jump into gameplay, because there's a lot to talk about. So you the gameplay loop, or at least how you operate the game, you traverse the levels extremely similar to Super Mario World, where except for I think with a lot more diversity and creativity. Yoshi is your main character. You have Baby Mario on your back. Yoshi is practically invisible. I shouldn't say invisible, but
invincible.
Not invisible. You kind of problem solve a lot in the game. It's a little bit of a collectathon, but it the bare bones there are Super Mario World, scrolling to the right or left, up or down throughout the levels.
Yeah.
And fighting the baddies and getting to the end. And then there's occasional sub bosses and then major bosses. There's 6 worlds. There's 8 levels per world, which is a lot. That's 48 levels.
Yeah.
Every level requires something new, at least for the first 4 worlds. I was massively impressed by that.
They pretty much throw a different mechanic at you
every level. Yeah. I was from one level.
I think you learn like 4 different abilities in one stage at one point.
You do. Like you, I mean, some, you go to one level, it's the environment's destructible. But on the same time, you're able to transform into a helicopter. Yeah. And then you eat a watermelon and you become a machine gun and you can like attack and spit. Right. And then there's like on the same level or maybe the next level, it'll be completely different. And there's, I don't know, like you hit certain triggers to change things from being spiked to flat and you have to like do gravity mechanics and all this. And I was blown. I didn't know what to expect every single time. I thought that was really good. That brought a lot of freshness because the first couple levels I played, I'm like, this ain't going to be my kind of game. Then I'm like at World 4 and I'm like, this might be my kind of game because this is like, I love the, it's so diverse. Be it there are some weaknesses in there. It might fall a little victim to too much diversity in regards to, it just introduces a lot, man.
Yeah. I feel you on that one.
Right. What I think is unnecessary are the vehicles. I don't know why that's in there. And I think it's maybe because of Donkey Kong Country.
I was just about to say it's the animals from Donkey Kong Country, right. Only weird. Like,
it didn't seem like they didn't seem like they mattered.
It's kind of body horror-y almost.
A little bit.
You know, I was like, well, the first time you turn into a helicopter, I was like, I don't like this.
Well, you turn, there's helicopters, submarines, trains, a mole machine, mm-hmm, that digs, and there are parts in the level that require you to do that, but they don't seem like, I feel like they were added later. Because they're not blowing me away and I'm not like, oh, cool, I got to do this now.
Especially because that first helicopter part,
right,
is unnecessary.
It does nothing.
You don't have to be the helicopter unless you want to collect all
this
stuff. But
it's also showing you like, oh, here, look at this thing we have in the game. And then you don't do anything. It's like, well, I'm not an idiot. Like, I know what a helicopter does.
Right.
Let's make this a little more entertaining. But that mechanic I wasn't cool with. Because I felt like it was just shoehorned in and it didn't need to be there. And I feel like it was just riding the coattails of Donkey Kong Country, who did it right, I guess, when it comes to the turn into an animal genre of platformers.
Yeah.
But this game definitely impressed me with all the other diversities. The fact that every level has completely different enemies. Blew my mind.
I do really like the enemy design in this.
Bro, there are so many. I mean, I'm going to get further into this in graphics and audio, but the fact that like the enemies change drastically and you kind of have to figure them out when you first meet them, I thought was really cool.
What I was wondering is where this fits in the actual canon of Super Mario.
I thought that too.
Because there's enemies from Mario 2.
A lot of Mario 2.
Which is a dream.
A lot of Mario 2.
And then there's some Mario 3 enemies, which is a play.
I'd say 50% of the game is Shy Guys.
But yeah, there's a lot variants, of Shy. Yeah. Very
different. I mean, and
you got the helicopter Shy Guys.
You got the big ones, the tall ones, the ones on stilts.
I love the big ones.
You got the, because you can.
I love cool, my chunky boys.
What's cool mechanic they have, obviously, there's Yoshi, so it introduces like swallowing and pooping out the egg and being able to throw it.
Mm-hmm.
If you get the big fat Shy Guys, you get big fat eggs. Yeah. You got these different types of eggs too. Some eggs like do different things. They explode and give you bonus things, or they, I think later on you can swallow certain enemies or certain items that make you shoot fireball. Like I said, I talked about the watermelon earlier that acts pretty much like a machine gun with limited ammo. I like the idea. It was very Kirby-ish for a little bit there.
Yeah, very much so. Actually, that does remind me a lot of this is kind of almost like a demo tape for Kirby's Dream Land on the 64.
Right. It doesn't go as deep into Kirby's, like, I think, eating stuff and changing the attack. Because most of the time it's just eggs, big eggs, or just items. You know, but I was impressed by even the diversity of the eggs. You know, the key word here is diversity.
And the fact that, you know, even the green ones, if you throw them once and recollect them, they're a different color and they do something different.
Yeah. Or they, and also when they explode, they can offer you things that extend your baby time, as I'm going to call
little,
it.
The little star guys.
Yeah. And or currency.
Which is basically your life.
It is. It's a weird roundabout way of being your health bar.
Yeah, because how that mechanic works is, for people who haven't played this, the baby, if you get hit, he pops off into a bubble and screams.
And let me tell you, it just interrupts the whole game.
Mm-hmm. This is one of the things I don't like about
it. I don't either. I agree here.
But you have these little, they're weird little star sprites that you collect that give you more.
They're adorable.
Time.
They're little feet.
Yeah. which is to be said, all the sprites in this are actually really well done.
I think some of the best.
Yeah. But it extends the amount of time you have to collect the baby again.
And it's floating around
and it's going through walls and it's being obnoxious.
And also, well, you can throw an egg at it, because your throwing mechanic is you hit a button, you get a little radial target that goes up and down. I'm going to say again, Donkey Kong Country, when you're...
Oh, in the barrels?
You're in the barrel.
Yeah.
It's very similar to that. That's the attack mechanic. You can hit the baby. It doesn't make them pop, but it makes them come to you.
Come back.
Yeah.
Fun thing is, if you have, like, if you're better at the platforming and puzzle solving mechanics and you have like a younger brother or a spouse or something,
there's like a two player thing, right?
They pick up the second controller and they control the eggs. They're just your laser turret at that point.
I would hate that.
It's not great.
I like that's part of the game I like, is being able to F things up.
But it's a fun like couch co-op thing.
I guess.
If they're not good at the platforming part.
Weird way to incorporate that into a Mario game, though.
Yeah. I mean, they were turning people into helicopters, man.
Why would they just make you the baby? Like, okay, well.
Well, because that defeats the gameplay loop.
I know.
Which is also weird, because it goes against normal Mario play.
Mechanics?
Yeah, like instead of, you know, oh, you basically have two hits. You know, you got your power up and then you're small. Right. And then you die.
Right.
Whereas this, you get hit, baby flies away.
Baby,
you can pretty much just tank everything when you don't have the baby.
I know.
Unless you like fall into lava or something.
If you get hit, though, it makes you spin and you lose a couple seconds of time because it has this animation that you're stunned.
Right. But it you can't get killed.
You can't die unless you fall a pitfall.
Right.
Right.
And so then it's just, you know, because
there was a strategy people use.
Because there were some levels where I had like 50 seconds where it's just like, all right, you just. I'm gonna kill all these enemies real quick.
The game is generous with generous with the items. Hot shingles.
I see we found a special guest, Sean Connery. The day is mine. Yoshi's Island.
Yoshi's Island.
Ish with an H.
Ish. Hot shingles.
we always fly off the
on a shingle.
Oh, great. I guess it's an appropriate episode.
There's going to be a lot of Yoshi noises.
Yoshi noises. But yeah, that mechanic's weird. I think that was a weird design. I think they could have went a different route.
I feel like
the life bar and the... I just hate the interruptingness of it.
Yeah.
The game's pretty complex. It's not that hard. At first, it's very forgiving with the amount of items gives you. And if you collect, let's talk about the collecting. So every level, I think the game does a great job of being a collect-a-thon. If that's your thing, that's something that makes your dopamine hit. This game is perfect for you, because you can beat the level normal as fast as you want. Yeah. Or you can go through and try to collect the giants. There's five big sunflowers.
Yep, there's flowers.
And then you have the red coins.
Red coins.
Just collect 20 of those. And then you just have to max out your timer, your baby meter, timer.
Yeah.
And then you 100% the level with those stipulations. But at the end of the level, if you've collected those giant sunflowers, those five, you have a chance of going to a bonus game, because it does like a weird little...
Yeah, there's the scratch it one.
Yeah.
Then there's a...
There's just pick.
There's also... there's just pick. There's also bonus levels within the level.
Right.
Where like you do like a balloon toss back and forth against an enemy.
There's a watermelon seed spitting contest. Uh-huh. There's a lot of stuff going on. Like I said, when I say the diversity of this game is, that's the word of this game. It's very diverse. There's so much going on, and it's such a Nintendo Mario game in that aspect. It really feels like a Mario game like that because of that. There's every little corner and every bit of it is there to explore and have fun with. Even though there are some annoyances in design and some ideas I would not have chosen to go with personally, but I love that. I love that you have a chance of getting like 10 one-ups.
Oh yeah. You get a million lives.
But you're going to need them later on, because the game like spikes in difficulty, I think, after World 4 personally.
Mm.
But that's one thing. I think that there's so much going on. It's hard to explain about all the gameplay in a short period of time, other than saying that, like, there's just...
I mean, just look up the move list, because, you know, you got...
Look up any list of this game,
dude. Ground pound.
Look at the enemy list. It's over 100.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Those are just standard enemies. I'm not even talking about the bosses. The bosses are pretty cool.
A lot of blob monsters.
Well, the bosses are all big. They want to show off that you know, and they're FX chip.
They're usually 3D rendered.
There's one cool boss, though, where you get eaten. It does the opposite. Instead of them making the boss big, he makes you small, and then you just get straight up eaten by a frog.
Uh-huh.
And then you're just fighting the frogs, like, pretty much
his little dangly thing in the back of my throat.
I don't know what the name of that is.
Uvula.
Uvula. And I thought that was cool. Just change it up. It's funny. And that game, a little argument I have, though, is that the game's theme and its target audience and its complexity of gameplay mechanics don't really mix.
No, they don't. And that's one of the things I wanted to talk about, the flutter kick jump.
Yeah, let's hear your flutter kick issues.
What I don't like about it is it goes against my platforming brain on how to predict, like, if I can make a jump, because it does such a low dip,
right?
And then you come up, it's just a weird disconnect where I feel like I'm gonna miss every jump.
Do you play a lot of Smash Brothers?
Yes.
I'm surprised.
Well, Yoshi's not a pick for me.
Okay, fair. You didn't main Yoshi.
No, gotcha. I'm a Link and a Samus guy.
I'm a Ness.
Or if it's the one with Ganondorf.
Oh yeah.
I like my
Captain Falcon?
I prefer Ganondorf because he hits harder.
I know, but that Captain Falcon punch is just so fulfilling when you just end the match with it.
Well, you do that with Ganondorf only on a much massive or a bigger scale. He's just slow.
Right.
I like I only have to hit you once kind of characters.
Okay. I did like Yoshi, though, in there, and that's where I was introduced to the flutter kick initially. And so I felt at home with it. I didn't have a problem with it.
Yeah, it just...
But I understand what you're saying.
Something about it. Yeah. I was just like, because I would miss jumps because I didn't trust the mechanic.
Right. And you weren't able to quite figure out if the timing was there for you to reach a certain
and it just,
height.
It was one of those I'd have to muscle through parts of a level over and over again just because I didn't trust. I didn't trust Yoshi.
And then later on in the game, you don't get like multiple chances to make those.
Exactly. So jumps. You're just burning through lives because you don't trust them.
But they give you a lot. I don't know. I feel like it's an appropriate amount. And by the time you're at those levels, I think you have to pretty much have figured out that flutter jump timing.
Yeah.
But I do understand what you're saying. There was some annoyances at first where I was like, I kept missing it by an inch because I was also hesitant. I'm like, I don't know.
You can change direction midair on like some platformers. And so if you stutter at all, you're going to die.
I know. That's true.
And having to rely on, because it's a big mechanic, they make you rely on that flutter jump a lot. They do.
And sometimes those are pinpoint like jump platforming. Mm-hmm. Like you're barely making that edge.
And it really is. I mean, I guess it kind of gives you that tension because you're just like, struggle, Yoshi, do it.
Yeah. This is good at that.
But it's also, it's like, I don't know. I kind of like to trust my hero.
So you're used to like a double jump.
See, I would prefer a double jump.
Right.
I would prefer it to be like a jump and then you flutter and there's no dip.
Right, it's the dip, going down gravity.
It's the dip that bothered me. While it is a good animation, I will give them that.
Yoshi's animation, even when he's standing still.
Yeah, it's a very good animation, but mechanically it irked me.
It bothered you.
Yeah.
Okay, I respect that. I can see how that dip is pretty, and it's very distinct in this game.
It's a deep dip.
It feels like the gravity literally hits you.
Mainly. Which leans to the good. It's a good smooth animation, and it looks realistic.
Well, we have the best of the best working on this game.
That's
so
true.
I mean, it was Miyamoto production. So, I mean, this is pretty much a lot to talk about in gameplay that we could talk about more, but I really, really want to talk about graphics and audio.
Okay,
so
let's move on.
So, to me, this game is insanely graphically impressive. I think this is, I don't know, man. I hate being the guy in this podcast who constantly has to say, this might be the best. I feel like I do this all the time, but I don't know. This is like, the graphics on this game are the best on the Super Nintendo. I don't know if there's a better looking game.
This is very much an aesthetic or an aesthetician's. That's not the right word.
Oh, that's what Julia is. Fiance. And this game waxes.
It's an aesthetic person's game.
It is.
Because it is very stylized. You got a lot of, you know, interesting art styles going on there.
Well, the director of the game apparently was a high-level music composer for Nintendo. So I think this is the game. I hope I'm not getting that wrong. But that leads me to believe that like they went full art.
Yeah, it feels like it's an artist's game.
It's an artist's game for sure. It's beautiful. Every bit of it's beautiful. Like every level looks different. The parallax scrolling is crazy. The use of the FX chip and the scaling is nuts. It keeps surprising you all the time.
It does feel like a coloring book at times.
But then remember when you like Yoshi gets high?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Those little fuzzy balls. I didn't
see that coming, man. I was laughing. I'm like, oh, we're high.
Yeah. You know, and the music goes all woobly.
And his eyeballs get all huge and his pupils get all.
I remember being a kid seeing that. I was just like, what is this?
Oh, no. He's poisoned.
Yeah. It's like later on, though, I was like,
yeah,
nah, man,
that looks fun. Yeah. And they don't hurt you.
No, it just makes everything.
And actually, it's necessary in that level because it also makes the ground move, which is fucking hilarious. It makes the ground move.
I think the only another game that replicated that style of inebriated effect World of Warcraft. Getting hammered in WoW was one of the funnest things ever.
There's a lot of games where you got drunk
because the world gets all woobly.
Dude, Red Dead Redemption. Like, you ever get messed up in that game and you can't even walk or like aim your gun correctly and just talk the crap? Yeah. But this did it first.
Yeah.
Maybe not first, but
it did it very well.
This game showed off a lot, and I think it did it in a way that you respect.
Mm-hmm.
I think this game was showing the Super Nintendo's last bit of strength. It's kind of its swan song.
I mean, and this is one of the things that the Super Nintendo did very well was stylized
platformers.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you think about Super Metroid. What else? Almost all Super Castlevania. Like
all of their best hits are platform based.
That was their forte faux show. And I feel this game showed off everything. It almost damn near looks like a PS1 game. If you put Tomba,
Put
Toto with Tomba and be like, if you didn't know what systems they were on, mm-hmm. obviously, stupidest question ever.
Well, because it's
Mario characters, but you would not know that they were either both on the PS1. But see, I don't think Tomba could exist on the Super Nintendo. But some parts of Yoshi's Island looks better than Tomba, man.
That's true.
Because
I agree.
Yeah, there's not that grainy.
And this
3D rendering that's kind of rough.
This actually shows how much of because they, you know, going into 3D full bore with the 64, this kind of shows like how much of a step back that system was from where we were, because the PlayStation 1 leaned into the how fancy they could make platformers.
Mm-hmm.
I think they took a page out of late game Super Nintendo.
Well, I think they added the 2.5D thing.
Yeah.
They did that well. It was a nice transition where 64 was like, nope.
Because, yeah, you got
all 3D.
You got like Symphony of the Night and stuff on there.
Right, but they argued about that. There was a big...
Yeah, it was supposed to be...
They didn't want them to make it a 2D, and they did. And they were like, trust us.
Yeah.
Also, they're probably in the back end. They were like, we've already invested way too much resources into this.
Guys, it's already done. Just let us finish it.
Just shut up. But... And then you saw Castlevania 64 and you're like, well, which one of these two will I play?
Yeah.
Mind you, I like both games, so hear me out. Castlevania 64 has a weird place in my heart. So I'm not talking crap.
It's rough, though.
It's rough, but it's something about skeletons on motorcycles just does it for me in the 1800s.
Yeah. So, yeah.
I mean, the graphics are second to none, right? I think it's the best looking game I've seen, we've played thus far. On this show, on the Super Nintendo.
I agree.
The music is also phenomenal.
You ready for Yoshi's Hoedown? It's, like, it's all kind of like, kind of folky.
It is, but it's
but it's still orchestral. It yeah.
It's like when you have that perfect alignment of graphics and audio, and they complement each other so well.
The, Ben. I was saying like the, because... Even in Super Mario World, the first one.
Right. It did that too.
My favorite music in that game, though, was when you had Yoshi.
Oh, and, yeah, because they had that. Added like a little bit of like the coconut drumming. You
get those claps, yeah.
Yeah, and then like. Oh, man, the music. I will say that the melodies are better in Mario World 1, but I think the composition.
Wee!
is better in two, as far as like it sounds more like full or more orchestrated.
Oh, it's
but the melodies are unbeatable.
It's not chip tunes or anything. It's definitely that's like a
it's nice.
There's music.
It's music. Yeah, but also in the first, you can't beat the first game when you like beat the level. It's the most hype, warming, filling song ever. You know, but there's a huge but.
Yeah,
there is a big fucking problem with the audio in this game. And it was so bad that I had to show Julia. I was like, come over here. And she's like, I was like, this game has probably, if I had to make a top 10 worst sound effects in video games, this might be number one.
It's right next to Todd's Slime World.
That the ending. I mean, but this one's bad. And I showed her. She's like, you're overreacting. I'm like, come here. And I like die or like I hit.
Now
and
she goes 30.
Oh my God. I hate that noise. And it's that crying baby noise when you get hit.
And you got 30 seconds of that.
You get 10.
Trying to get him back. Yeah. You're
punished by having more of the time. And not only is it the crying wails that are ear piercing and terrible and it interrupts what you're doing. So you already feel like, oh, shit.
Uh-huh.
But it's also this like time, like this metronome is going really fast. Like that reminded me a little bit of like Sonic Drowning. So it's like the worst of both worlds. You have this like, I don't know. I just hate it. And I hate getting hit. And every time I got hit, I would audibly scream a cuss word. Because like, no, I have to deal with this.
Yeah.
And it made me nervous and bad. And I think that was an awful design decision. That should have not made it past those Nintendo board of directors after they play tested. How did they oversee that? Because that is a huge problem with the game.
I think what they were going for was like triggering that like internal like parental response.
You're a dinosaur.
I know, but the
getting high.
The whole game is about protecting this child.
I
understand where you're coming from.
They could have used any other sound effect.
Playing devil's advocate on also this is a very Japanese choice.
I guess, but I don't know. I don't see how that went that passed through the executives.
Yeah.
They didn't say like, wow, that's super annoying and totally breaks the immersion of the game and like breaks the flow, because not only does it break the flow or, you know, if you're on it, you're doing good and you're getting mm-hmm. to the level, not only does it break it with the audio, it breaks it like visually too. Cause all of a sudden you have to stop and turn around and you see where your guy is and you're panicking and you have this panicky sound effect accompanied with this panicky noise music that's now taking center stage, and I hate it. And maybe this is me because I have like anxiety issues, but God, what a terrible design. And I know this has been spoken off the hills with anybody who plays retro. I get it, but I got to experience it firsthand this week. And I am so upset that they let that happen in an otherwise beautiful game.
Yeah, it does really take away from the flow state.
They just,
because it's hard to get back into the groove after that. Because
couldn't you just had them get hit and then like just fall off the screen, you know, like, oh, you're like, you don't have to do this whole insane anxiety inducing moment.
Well, it gets rid of that gameplay loop that they were going for.
Right.
That's the thing. That's a big part of this game is that, you know, got to save that baby.
But just use a different noise, man. I don't know. But also, I don't like the mechanics of it in the gameplay section. I don't like their life system in this.
I agree.
I don't like the way it sounds. I don't like the way it operates. And I think it takes away from an otherwise almost perfect game.
I also really don't like Baby Mario.
I don't either. But it is cool that you do get an item like a star where you just become him and you're just rushing and running and with flying.
The little cape and everything.
I think that's cool. But other than that, I mean, I'm not on deck for Baby Mario. I feel a little bit like, was this even supposed to be Super Mario World 2? Or did they just make this game and they're like, this is a lot like Super Mario World. Let's just call it Super Mario World
2. I feel like it was just going to be called Yoshi's Island.
But I think
that,
so too.
They didn't feel like that had the name recognition enough.
Okay.
And so they were just going to be like, well, we'll just call it one of our best selling titles.
Because prior sequel to this, Yoshi only had the forefront in Yoshi's Cookie, I think, on the Nintendo.
That or the failed Super Scope.
Oh, God, I forgot about that. Yeah.
Yeah, because
Yoshi's Vietnam.
There really was
flashback.
There was a. I think that's where the egg mechanic came from.
Interesting. I forgot about that.
Because it was from the Super Smash game, and it straight up is Koopas in the trees. Like,
yeah. We talked about this in the past episode.
We did, because it was one of those. It was like the not a regret, but kind of like something I missed out on because I was given that game
right
without having a Super Scope.
I need to get a Super Scope. I don't even thought about getting one of those because I
wonder how much they are now. Probably
who knows.
Stupid.
Yeah, come on, man, you can't collect anything anymore without it being ridiculous. Anyways,
that's your rant about the baby.
I gushed about the graphics, I gushed about the audio, but I had to really give a place and time to express how much I hate that crying baby Mario, dude. And I don't feel like I'm alone there.
I hated it too,
so I think I'm ready to give my verdict. Are you?
Yeah.
All right, well, let's hear what you got to say.
All right. I think this game does a very good job at being the puzzler platformer. It's got a lot of interesting mechanics, like we talked, like there's a million different ways to do things. And they really enforce that through the levels, but still have to, you revisit it. Unlike some puzzle platformers where it's like, oh, you get this one mechanic, it's only good for this level, and then you barely use it ever again.
Thought about Tomba a little bit there.
Yeah.
Like how this was actually superior to Tomba in some areas.
But then you have the screaming baby that breaks up the entire flow of everything. And so this does not get, for me, hidden gem status.
Well, I mean, it's a Mario
game. But it's also a Mario game. So,
right.
Yeah.
Well, let's just say top tier, right? Or S tier, I guess it would be the other thing to call it. I would
put this in low A tier.
Okay.
Like,
I like this rating system we're doing now.
Because
we should keep doing this.
Because it's beautiful. It's definitely worth playing. It's got some really fun boss fights.
Yes.
It's got a lot of good music, and it's just pretty to look at. Like, it's one of those, if you just had it running in its attract state in the background, it's like a moving painting.
It is gorgeous.
It's really pretty.
That's a great, actually, attract state, just like showing you the story and like the baby music at first. And it's just, yeah, it's kind of, totally agree there.
So, yeah, that's my verdict.
Okay. Low A on the scale, on the ranking. So here's, as I said earlier, I went into this game hating it and being like, wow, I'm going to not like this. This is not my cup of soup. But then after investing a lot of hours into it, I didn't beat it, but I got pretty far. And I got far enough to state what I'm about to state. So knowing this was one of the Super Nintendo's last games released, I was not surprised at the sheer level of quality that was put into this sequel. Do that with rabbit ears. This game pushes the console's limits in the most like entertaining way. I found myself more and more challenged and then like rewarded with every second I continued to give Yoshi's Island. A few hiccups in like the way the world map is. I don't think it was necessary. I guess they were trying to still be like Super Mario, but I was like, it's just all visual. It's fine, but let's move a little bit.
It was more like pages in a story.
It's weird. Yeah, it's a little weird. But and certain awful sound effect choices, obviously, and a little misalignment in like its target audience and what the product is. I feel like that makes this title fall shy of being a masterpiece. However, I think it is absolutely a must-play game. It should be owned by Super Nintendo enthusiasts. And everybody should at least try it out because it's incredibly fun. And I'm glad that it's on the Super Nintendo Classic. And it's not very expensive. It's like $25 to $35.
That's pretty good.
If you want the cart. However, I would probably give it mid-A.
Yeah.
Yeah. So right above yours. I think I don't think I can give it A- because I fell in love with it. I like the game. I want to buy a copy.
Yeah.
Because it's inexpensive. And I think it's a really important game because it's at the end of life cycle. Because I just got a hold of Mario World, the
original
one. Yeah, and I was like, it's cool to have both ends, like the both bookends of this the life journey of the Super Nintendo. So, all right, everybody, that is our Super Mario World 2 Yoshi's Island review, and it is now a random pick week. So you get to pick, Mr. Spin Miller.
That wheel.
Well, hold on. What's console?
Game Boy Advance.
Game Boy Advance. Let's go. Okay, so this week, the game that's picked from the Wheel of Random. Wow, we got very lucky.
Good game.
We got very lucky. For the Game Boy Advance is an RPG game that goes by the name Golden Sun, The Lost Age.
I don't think I've played this one, though.
I played the first one. I don't think I played this one either.
Is this the sequel?
Yeah, I don't know. But it was released in USA, so we're good. So, Golden Age, The Lost Sun is, oh, thank you, Gods of Retro.
Huh. Yeah, that's a good pick.
I don't know if it's good though. We haven't played it. What if it's like a card collectible game or something?
Golden Sun, Lost Age.
Lost Age. All right. Join us for the Twitch stream of first impressions of that and other stuff in the Patreon.
And like other things too.
Super Garbage Bowl is a big deal right now.
Oh man.
And that's all we got.
So this will offset the garbage.
We will see you next week for Golden Sun, The Lost Age. Is that what it's called?
Yeah. Yes,
The Lost Age.
The Lost Age.
Okay, I'm B. Ross. This is
Mr. Miller.
And we will cut to B. Bye.
Thank you for watching with my dad. I just want to say, everybody, guys, bye.